Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. So Team Grace, it was a busy week here at Our Lady of Grace. We had our first Friday. We had the visit from Uju. We had our first Saturday. Adoration all through the night, Friday into Saturday morning, 315 adorers. Confessions throughout Friday night into Saturday morning. Many people reconciling or going deeper in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. We had a powerful talk on the culture of life, the voice of Africa reminding us of what we used to be. We had multiple anointings on Saturday morning. So many who are sick or suffering, receiving the grace of God and the strength to replace fear with hope. We had the devotions to the Sacred Heart, honoring that heart that so loves us. And we had devotions to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. So much grace. And I'm so grateful to so many of you who chose to participate, who were willing to carve out a little bit of time in your busy lives to let Jesus Christ be Lord, to participate in the life of your parish. I am profoundly grateful. That's what is the mark of Our Lady of Grace, the mark of Team Grace. So I'm grateful. To those who are not participating, I want to encourage you as best you can to be a part of the parish life, to be a part of this holy fellowship that the Lord Jesus has given to us. So with that, Team Grace, we mark today the second Sunday of Advent. Our Mother Church calls us during the season of Advent to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we have chosen to focus on that third Advent, the coming of the Lord in Holy Communion. We are focusing on the theology, the discipline, the spirituality of all that surrounds the reception, the worthy reception of Holy Communion. Last week, we emphasized the union that we must have with Jesus Christ and the Church in order to receive Holy Communion. The wordplay by Mother Church is itself a teaching. Communion is Latin for with union. By receiving the Eucharist with a union with the Lord Jesus and the Church, we are in Holy Communion. The act is not simply the reception of the Eucharist, but a public declaration of our union with Jesus Christ and His Church, namely with the Roman Catholic Church, which the Lord founded over 2,000 years ago. As was addressed last week, a believer who is lacking in that union with the Lord Jesus or with His Church, either through grave sin or through a rejection of essential teachings, should refrain from Holy Communion. Those who are in grave sin must first go to sacramental confession. And I want to emphasize that, Team Grace. And it's regrettable that we are in a time in which that has to be stressed. If you are in grave sin, your soul is dead. Sanctifying grace has left you. You do not have the life of God within you. You must go to confession in order to be regenerated, brought back to life by the grace of God. If you are in grave sin, you refrain from Holy Communion, simply receive a blessing, and then make your way quickly to the sacrament of confession. For those who are struggling with essential dogmatic or moral teachings of the Church, before they should receive Holy Communion, there's other work that must first be done, spiritual work. Certainly, they should participate in the Eucharistic sacrifice, seeking the grace of this sacrifice in their own hearts. Then, of course, they should frequently go to confession. They should pray and ask God for the graces of conversion. They should study church teaching. They should seek spiritual direction or pastoral counseling as needed. They should consult with their fellow believers. How do you accept this that I'm struggling with? There's more work within the life of the Church that must be done in order for the person to receive conversion, to be truly in union, to have communion with the Lord Jesus and His Church. Namely, each of us must use all of the means given to us by the Lord Jesus to seek and to accept the graces of conversion. If someone is at odds with the Church teaching, then they should understand that there is a separation there, and that must first be addressed. Mother Church is not kicking them out into the darkness, but rather providing them with the spiritual means in order for them to receive conversion. For someone to approach in order to receive Holy Communion who is in grave sin, knowing that the life of God is not within them, and yet does not care but still receives Holy Communion, they commit a lie before the very altar of God. For the person who approaches the altar who knows that they are in fundamental disagreement with church teaching, essential church teaching, and yet does not care and chooses to receive Holy Communion, commits a lie at the very altar of God. Mother Church loves us too much and calls us to integrity. If we are in grave sin, we go to confession. If we are at odds with essential church teaching, we seek the graces of conversion. We approach and receive a blessing until we are in communion, in union with the Lord Jesus and his church. Now, as this is addressed, I want to state very clearly that Mother Church does not like when her children cannot receive Holy Communion. As your pastor, I do not like when you are unable to receive Holy Communion. But good mothers both feed their children, but also discipline their children. Mother Church prefers that we receive the heavenly food, that we receive Holy Communion. But if we are not worthy, are not improperly disposed, then she exercises her discipline as a good mother and asks us to refrain. Our own faith, our own sense of integrity should match the discipline and the instructions given to us by the church. Now, truth be told, when I was younger, I remember reading the popular catechisms of the day. And I remember reading in one part, it said that the highest way to participate in Mass was the reception of Holy Communion. And I can remember thinking at the time, that's the highest? Why is that the highest? Everyone does that. Even the non-Catholic musicians were doing it at the parish I was at the time. Even the atheists on the sidewalk seemed to be invited to receive communion. How is that the highest? Everyone's receiving Holy Communion. How is that the highest? Regrettably, the idea that Holy Communion was something we had to prepare for or be worthy of and reflect upon why we would receive Holy Communion and be open to the graces of the sacrament were completely lost on me and on my early Christian formation. And that was a great loss. It took me some time to come to a deeper understanding of the profound reverence that Holy Communion merits and the existential gratitude that should be in my heart in order to receive Holy Communion. That came later, regrettably. But perhaps you've had a similar experience. Perhaps in your own Christian formation, the essential emphasis given to the reception of Holy Communion was not there. In fact, I could even say that if you received your Christian formation sometime after the Baltimore Catechism, but before 1994, you should probably pick up a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church in order to check to make sure your Christian formation was full and complete and accurate. The reason why I say that, dear friends, is when I was studying moral theology, I had to look at catechisms from the late 70s, 80s, early 90s. And all I remember thinking was, what a freak show. What a freak show. First of all, what was taught? But more importantly, what was not taught? And of course, that helps us to understand the state of the church today. I say 1994 because that's when the Catechism of the Catholic Church was released in English. I remember that year. It was the year I graduated high school. And I can remember the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Finally, we could check what the church teaches. Before that, we would rely on the local priest. And if that priest was liberal or compromised, or if he was just wayward in some way, then that's what we received. There was no way for the faithful to go and check. You almost had to have a degree in theology because it required multiple references to multiple church documents in order to see what the church was teaching. But in 1994, with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we could actually pick it up and check. This priest is saying this. This priest is saying this. Sister over here is saying this. What does the church teach? We can pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church and now check. This is what the church teaches. This is right and this is wrong. That's a tremendous gift. Incidentally, dear friends, that's why here at Our Lady of Grace, within the last 5 years, three separate times we have passed out free copies of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That, please God, every household of this parish has a copy. Incidentally, it's also free and available online. That at any point you can go and check the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you were to read the portion of the Catechism on Holy Communion, you would probably be very humbled, especially if your early Christian formation was lacking, as mine was. Because, dear friends, Holy Communion is the highest participation in Mass. We must intentionally and actively prepare ourselves to receive the body and blood of our Lord. Mother Church wants to feed us, we, her children. She wants to feed us with heavenly food, and she wants us to approach when we are ready and properly disposed. But when we are not, she instructs us in her discipline to simply approach for a blessing. Mother Church wants the grace of the Lord to do something else first in our souls if we are lacking union. She does not want the food that should bring us salvation to become the means of our damnation. Dear friends, let me emphasize and read St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Paul is adamant as he's speaking to the Corinthians, who are a defiant and hard-headed people. The faith was eventually lost in Corinth because they refused to accept the obedience of faith. Paul is wrestling with them. You can read in his letters to them. In particular, he targets and focuses on their reception of the Eucharist, which they were doing in an unworthy manner. And he says to them, do not receive it in an unworthy manner. For when you eat or drink the body of the Lord in an unworthy manner, you eat and drink condemnation upon yourself. Again, the very food that should give us salvation can become the very means of our damnation. This is the heart of Mother Church. She is entrusted with the care of the sacraments. She is the guardian and the one who teaches us about the sacraments. She is the one who desires to feed us. And Mother Church will be the one to discipline us when we are not ready. Listen to the prayer that Mother Church gives to the priest. So before I can receive Holy Communion, Mother Church tells me I have to say a particular prayer. Listen to the prayer the priest prays. May the receiving of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, not bring me to judgment and condemnation, but through your loving mercy be for me protection in mind and body and a healing remedy. Even the priest, as he is about to receive Holy Communion, is asked by Mother Church to pray that the reception of Holy Communion does not bring damnation, but salvation. That the priest be properly disposed, as the faithful should be, in order to receive the body of our Lord. Now, this understanding, let's address a few things that have come up over the past few decades. Every once in a while, I get these questions. And in large part, the questions come up because of the bad catechesis over the past couple of decades. So sometimes people will say this, well, Father, wait a minute. If someone's in grave sin and they're away from the Lord and they need healing, aren't they the very ones who should receive Holy Communion? And of course, such a statement shows an exaggeration. They probably got that from some liberal priest or sister. Because yes, Mother Church wants to heal. But when one is in grave sin, it's so severe that the Lord has instituted another sacrament related to the Eucharist in order to be healed in that particular way. Has it ever struck you, even the physical proximity of the altar to the confessional? Mother Church showing the connection between the two. That if someone is in grave sin, healing is necessary. But that healing is so serious and so grave that it cannot be confected by the Eucharist alone. There must be another sacrament that's received. Now, truth be told, we all approach, even those of us who have no grave sin, and we have the venial sins in our hearts, we have the attraction to sin, we approach as beggars, suppliants before God. Even when we think we're worthy, there's still an element of unworthiness that calls us to approach. But for those in grave sin, this other sacrament must first be received. Again, Mother Church is not throwing the person out into the outer darkness, but rather saying, your situation is so severe, it must go to a different sacrament. Imagine a nurse doing triage in the emergency room and realizing, this is beyond the emergency room, we have to get you to the OR. That is very similar here. In the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass, Mother Church is doing triage. And to those who are in grave sin, the emergency room of the Mass, of even Holy Communion, must be supplemented first by the emergency room, the operating room of the confessional. And so this is how we would answer that challenge. But then there's another one that oftentimes I hear. Well, Father, wait a minute. A priest told me a couple decades ago, okay, that should throw up every red flag. Okay, all right. A priest told me a couple decades ago that I can receive Holy Communion when I'm in grave sin as long as I go to confession some other time. All right, let me clarify. Listen to the benevolence of Mother Church. If we were in the Yucatan Peninsula, or we were in the Sahara, or the Amazon, and we did not have a regular priest, and periodically a catechist or a deacon would come to our village in order to give us Holy Communion, and say in that situation someone was in grave sin, Mother Church would say in that situation, the person could make a perfect act of contrition, the resolution to go to confession as soon as they can, and then that person can receive Holy Communion. It is in that context alone where literally confession is not immediately available or there is no priest, that the church would say in this context and with these conditions, that person could receive communion. But you know what's shocking, Team Grace? Having visited the missions of our church, the very situations in which that permission was given, the faithful in those missions are so devout, they will not exercise that discipline. There are people who will go years without receiving Holy Communion because when it was available, there was still no priest available, and they would wait till the priest would come, sometimes 2 or 3 years later, in order first to go to confession. So the very situations in the church where Mother Church allowed this concession are not exercising it, but that we in the West, we take that permission, we exaggerate, and we stretch it. And when we have priests available and confessions available, we can say, it's okay. Yeah, sure, I'm completely dead spiritually. I don't have sanctifying grace, but sure, I'll just come up and receive Holy Communion when we know we could get the confession. And in this context, Mother Church would say we must go to confession first. We know in the United States the sacrament of confession is available. Here at Our Lady of Grace, the sacrament is definitely available. And we must go to that sacrament first. Dear friends, I don't mean to frighten anyone, but I want you to understand the severity of what it means when someone is in grave sin. Sometimes when I'm hearing confessions and someone says it's been 10 months, it's been 2 years since my last confession, and then they begin to confess grave sin, I immediately ask them, when were these grave sins committed? And they say, oh, well, 10 months ago, 2 years ago. I am scared for them. I said, do you understand? Do you realize that if you had not had come to confession, if you had died, you would have gone to hell forever. That you would have been damned. And then they begin, what? What? Because they had been mistaught. Dear friends, we have to understand the severity of grave sin. It is so severe that the Lord Jesus established a separate sacrament in order to help us, giving us that operating room in order that we might be healed. So we have to understand the disposition of our souls and what is required in order for us to approach. So oftentimes it has become the mindset of the average Catholic that worship is, I show up, I receive communion. That's not our worship, dear friends. As baptized Christians, our worship is we come and we participate in the sacrifice. In the representation of the Lord's sacrifice to the Father, we participate in that. That's our worship. From that sacrifice, we have a sacrament. If we are worthy and prepared, then we can approach for Holy Communion. It is interesting that in the Church Universal, only in the English-speaking West, do we find the hubris of thinking that everyone should approach for Holy Communion. Go outside of the English-speaking West and you will find that in many congregations, half, maybe a third of the congregation approaches for Holy Communion because they have integrity, because they have discernment, because they're participating in the sacrifice, but they're realizing this Sunday, no. I need to forgive my sister, my family member. I need to go to confession. I broke the Eucharistic fast. Whatever it might be, all the above. They understand that there has to be a preparation, a worthiness, in order to receive Holy Communion. Now, during this Advent season, we are emphasizing this here at Our Lady of Grace because we have forgotten it. As Catholics, we have forgotten the reverence and the awe, the gratitude that should fill our hearts when we approach for Holy Communion. Dear friends, if you are not in a state to receive, simply ask for a blessing. Take advantage of the other spiritual resources given to us by Mother Church. Prepare yourself well, and then approach for Holy Communion. Now, there's more that I want to say, but we have 2 more Sundays of Advent, don't we? And I've given you enough for today. I ask that you reflect upon, what is your disposition? What is your understanding of what it means to approach this altar and to receive the body and blood of Christ? And I call you to deeper conversion and to a greater understanding. There is no greater gift given to anyone, to no greater gift given to the human family than the opportunity to participate in this sacrifice and by extension to receive Holy Communion, to be in union with Christ in the church, and to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man.